Well, where did this week go to? I look forward to it all year. Of course, I go to a lot of places, and I've got a lot of friends, but I ain't got one best friend. And to get to go preach and spend a little time with my best friend is just icing on the cake. We thank the Lord for this church and for what it means to us, and all your kindness to us, both financially and prayers, and all the good food we've had this week. You've all had a part in trying to hasten me on to glory, and we thank you for taking part in that. So if you come to my funeral, you can look in the coffin and say, I had a part in this. We want to look in a couple of passages tonight. If you've got your Bibles and you've got an extra finger, I want to look at a verse in 2 Timothy, and I want to look at some verses in the book of Acts. We have been, since Sunday morning, looking at the little phrase, unknown here, but well known over there. We're living in a day and age where even Christians, preachers especially, want to be known here. And we spend a lot of time trying to go up the everybody knowing us ladder. And we spend little time in trying to be known over there. And gracious, it would be horrible to die and get over there and say, ain't nobody over here knows you. We're sorry. We don't have no house for you. We don't have no place for you. You're going to have to go to hell. So I would rather spend my time being known over there. We've looked at several. We looked at Naaman's little maid, the unknown connector. We looked at Ananias, the one who touched Paul in his conversion, the unknown follower. We looked at Joash. Man, he's the keeper of the oil. I need some more oil, don't you? I leaked out today. I need some more. The unknown keeper. And then last evening we looked at Obed-Edom. Appreciate the Lord helping us. Is the unknown man of blessings. Tonight I'd like to draw our attention, if I could, to Paul's sister's boy. That's all we know about him. They didn't even give him a name. That's Paul's sister's boy. He wasn't known here. But son, he had lit it up over there. They knowed him over there. A verse in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'd like to look at him tonight as the unknown vessel. The unknown vessel. It says in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That little word meet can be translated fit or usable, or this is awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. Handy. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. Does God find you and his relationship, man, they just handy. If I need something done, they just right there. I can get them. They're handy. Fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Acts chapter number 23, if you've got the Bible there tonight. Acts chapter number 23. Paul's sister's boy. Only time he's mentioned name-wise is in verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard, vessel fit for the master's use. As we begin to unpack this story tonight, where anybody here noted, he's not even well known in the Bible. It's Paul's nephew. It's his sister's boy. I do know one thing. God thought he was handy. As far as I can tell from the text, he's a little boy, not a big boy. We see a guy holding his hand in this text. He's just a little boy, but he's handy. He's handy. So we begin to unpack things tonight in chapter 23 and verses 1 and 2. We see a vessel for an ambush. A vessel for an ambush. The Bible says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. The high priest Ananias commanded them that they stood by him to smite him on the mouth." They said, "You soldier standing over there by Paul, smack him in the mouth." I don't like what he's saying. You and I get so upset if somebody hurts our feelings. he got a whop in the mouth. I love his reaction. There's all kinds of Sadducees and Pharisees around. And this is the high priest that asked for this smack. And in verse number 6, "But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he asked him, they fixing to whoop him, and he said, I was wondering, do y'all believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead? Because the Sadducees, they didn't believe that at all. That's why they sad, you see. And the Pharisees did. And son, it just broke out in a riot between the two of them. They were about to come to blows. They were about to come to a fist fight. And the Bible tells us in verse 10, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle." He was fearing that surely these guys are going to kill Paul. In verse 14, I'm talking about a vessel for the ambush. "And they came to the chief priests, elders, and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse. We'll eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with this counsel signify the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. We, or ever he come near, and ready to kill him." Well, these 40 men, they have made a vow. Under the curse of the law, we ain't going to eat until we kill Paul. And they've got the high priest of that day in their corner. I got to thinking, man, God's going to have to bring the big guns out to stop this thing. Son, he's going to have to bring the big dogs out. Man, he's going to have to really bring somebody out that really knows their stuff in order to stop this ambush. You think? Vessel. For the ambush. But I see also in the text a vessel of assurance. A fit vessel tonight, one that is usable for God. He's always assured by the word of God. Verse number 11. This is the night after they made the vow. And the night before the vow was to be carried out. God was so sure that the big dog that he had picked to work this thing out. The Bible says in verse number 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by me. God, Christ has been sitting for 2,000 years. He's only gotten up twice. He got up for this one, and he got up for Stephen's homecoming. It's only two times he's ever gotten up since he died and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Bill and Hillary didn't get him up. Old Boo-Boo didn't get him up. Trump didn't get him up. And Joe and Kamala ain't going to get him up either. If he gets up again, he's coming. But he got up this night. And he told him, he said, be of good cheer, Paul. The little phrase means to change from a downward look to an upward look. Keep chin up, Paul. Amen. This is the night after the vow has been written, and it is the night before it is to be carried out. Man, God better get busy. He's going to have big guns stop this thing. He said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul, you don't worry about this. You go on to sleep. We're still going to Rome. Don't worry about this thing. They ain't going to kill you. Well, how in this world is he going to stop it? See, a fit vessel, fit for the master's use tonight. He's always assured by the word of God. But notice, if you would, in chapter 23, not only these vessel of ambush and assurance, but there is a vessel of availability. I notice that there is an unknown vessel of availability. Verse 16, when Paul's sister son heard of their lying in wait, he's standing around there and heard them talking. We're going to kill Paul tomorrow. He's a little boy. Those little boys said, raise them 40 men will kill me if I say so. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Better go back home, hide on my bed. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in waiting, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul, this is the unknown vessel. This unknown boy is going to mysteriously show up like a boat passing in the night. And he is going to be the vessel that is going to protect the man of God that will write over half of the New Testament. I'm telling you, heaven has taken notice. Nobody knows his name, but he's lit it up over there. How come? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. Because he's handy. Amen. He's handy. See, fit vessels tonight need no backup plan. I don't know about you, if I was wanting to preserve the man that's going to write over half the New Testament, I don't know if I'd have put all my eggs in a little boy basket. Are you listening to me tonight? Unless I was God and know that this one was handy. Are you listening to me tonight? Because see, I did not know if you know it or not. God don't have no plan B. I know you've been told that God's got a perfect will and a permissive will. Something good happens to you, perfect. COVID, that's his permissive will. One minor little problem, ain't nowhere in the Bible. Sorry. Does say this, Paul speaking. For God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. No S on will, just will. He's just got plan A. Amen. I love that, don't you? So this is the only plan he's got. And he's done gone out on a limb and told Paul everything's going to be all right. How in this world can he be so sure about this little boy? Because he's a vessel fit for the master's use. He's handy. He's handy. Unknown vessel of availability. Isn't it amazing tonight that God would put all his eggs in this basket, knowing full well how it's going to come out, because he knows this little boy is usable. Not only do we see the unknown vessel of availability, we see the unhesitant vessel of ability. The Bible says in verse 16, and when Paul's son heard of their lying in wait, 3 days later he went to the castle and told Paul. No! It don't even say that in the Living Bible. If he'd have waited 3 days, Paul would have been dead. Heard? He went. How come? Fit vessels. Always or obedient vessels. They ain't got to think about it. They ain't got to pray about it. If God speaks, they do it. Oh, how our Lord needs a people who will listen for the propagation of evil around them and be willing to stand up and be counted. He heard, he went. He had awaited. Obedience is the best way to show that you believe. Slow and sure is not good. Prompt and pointed is the only thing God wants. When God speaks, let us be quick to move. I was thinking about that, just holding your finger there in Acts. I was wondering how maybe this boy had been like that. Verse in 1 Timothy. Don't want to confuse you with the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. I think that's where I want to go. Nah, it's not. The verse, from a child, I was taught the Holy Scriptures. I wonder if this boy wasn't from a baby taught the Holy Scriptures. Some mama, some grandma had just infused in him, just drilled it in him to be handy, to be a vessel. Is that what you're doing with your kids? You just drilling it in them. Hey, you keep an ear out now. God's going to speak along the way, and you want to be handy. You want to be ready when he speaks. Oh, an unhesitant vessel. Fit vessels are vessels that love the word. Fit vessels are obedient vessels. They're handy. They don't think about it. How many Baptists you ask them to do something, they got to think about it? God asks you to sow something, you ain't got to think about it. Do it. Do it. I've told you this before. My boys have told me several times, Daddy, you need to come off the road. Get your little church there in Athens. The road's killing you. And I told them some time ago, it's a great idea. Excellent idea. I've only got one little problem. God told me in 1992 to go on the road and preach, and I ain't heard nothing from him since. If he tell me to get off the road, you won't even hear the end of this sermon tonight. I'll head for Georgia tonight. Are you listening to me? What in the world you want to stay out there as old as you are and it's killing you? I want to be handy. I rest when I get over there. You listening to me tonight? See, that's what's wrong with some of you right now. You're taking too good a care of yourself. Huh? Y'all try to be handy. unhesitant vessel of availability. But I see he was an unbelievable vessel of availability. This young man is unknown. In this situation, nobody, that's Paul's nephew's boy. But there's one thing about a fit vessel, a handy vessel. You probably won't ever know. You won't see their name in lights here. But they know them well over there. They light it up over there. Unbelievable vessel of availability. I see also this young boy is a vessel of adoration. The Bible says that Paul told him, verse 17, then Paul called one of the centurions unto him. Send, bring this young man to the chief captain, for he has certain things to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoners called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say unto thee. And the chief captain took him. What? Hold my hand. See, vessels fit for the master's use, they spend all of their life, whether they're young and in their 20s or old in their 70s, if they want to be usable, they spend their whole life holding his hand. You that got little kids, have you ever had them to yank the hand out of your hand? Huh? It's because they eat up with themselves. See, usable vessels tonight, they're always wanting to hold his hand. Well, I had to learn that the hard way when I first went into evangelism. She wasn't traveling with me then. I was sure enough scared then when she wasn't traveling with me. But I had a 1985 gold Cadillac. Man, that was a plush Cadillac. And I come out of Wilmington, North Carolina one Thursday morning. I'd preached up there Sunday to Wednesday. And that road, four lane from Wilmington over to 95, ain't nothing but swamp country. That's where somebody got old Michael Jordan's daddy and killed him over there on a side street. His car broke down. And I'm coming down. I left there about 4:30 in the morning. I'm coming down through that doing about 75 or 80. And all of the lights on the car went out and the car cut off. I'm doing 80 miles an hour. About 10 seconds. It seemed like 10 years. All of the lights came back on and the engine started running again. And so for the next hour and a half on that four-lane road between there and 95, about every 10 minutes it would do that. Say the least, by the time I got to 95, the arms were quite sore. Well, when I got on 95, I said to myself, I got to have some coffee. I got to take a break. And I saw the lights of a Waffle House. It's about 5:45. And I know you wouldn't do this. You too holy to do this. But I said to myself, because I need God's help now. I want him to be on my side. I said to myself, whoever is in that Waffle House, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Because I want his help to get me to Athens. Well, I went in the Waffle House. There is absolutely nobody in there except one old black lady. She's cooking, taking orders. She's doing it all. I said, we need to get this over with right as I go in the door. I said, ma'am, I said, can I ask you a question? Do you know Jesus? Are you ready to die tonight? She turned around and looked at me. She put both her hands on the hip. She said, Lord, have mercy. She said, I can't even walk, lest I hold to his hand. All the way to Athens. Every time that car would cut off, I'd reach my hand up. Oh, God, I can't even walk, lest I hold to your hand. Usable vessels tonight don't want their hand to get out of God's hand. I must hold to it tight. Got home, it wasn't nothing but the gas filter in the thing, clogging up and shutting it down. but it taught me a golden lesson. All usable vessels tonight, they never ever take the hand out of the hand of God. But I see also in this text, there's a vessel of the Almighty. Verse number 23. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 80, spearsmen 200 in the third hour of the night. They provided them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe. Bring him safe. Bring him safe. Hey, God, how in the world did you work that out? They said, I just used a little boy. He's so little you had to carry him by his hand anywhere we go. Well, how in the world did he get all that attention? He's handy. He's handy. Oh, I wonder tonight how much evil could be thwarted if God could find some ready, usable vessels tonight to do his work. I wonder, even right now, as we're having an onslaught of wickedness in this world, I wonder how much longer God could hold it back if he had some vessels that were handy. I read this little poem the other day, and it spoke volumes to me. I don't know if it would you or not. It says, imagine getting to heaven, God saying to you, before I laid the foundations of the earth, I thought of you, and of the days you would live upon the earth. I planned out the people and the place I would give you. I laid out your neighbors, your friends, your school, your church, and your workplace where you would attend. I laid out enough days for you to accomplish the good works I purposed for you to do. And I equipped you with all that you would need to accomplish those purposes. I filled you with the Holy Ghost to encourage, convict, and remind and lead you. I gave you my word so you would know me and what I want you to do. I gave you people to fellowship with and bring and brought people across your path who needed me. Let's sit down and talk about what you have accomplished at being a fit vessel for the master's use with what I gave you. I wonder tonight if God sits down with you tonight and talks over with you. Fit vessels tonight. Oh, they're clear on the providence of God. Fit vessels tonight are constantly saying, Lord, take control of what? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be safely and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me tell always only for my King. Take my lips, let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever all for thee. Could you say tonight with, oh yeah, you remember his name, don't you? Paul's sister's boy. Ain't nobody know him here, but he sure was handy. As God looks down on your life tonight, would he say of you, I know one thing, they sure are handy. Every time I turn around, they got their hand in mine. And if I need something done around here in Forest City or Rutherford, I know I can count on them. They'll be ready to go. We're standing tonight. Our heads are bowed. Preacher's coming.
Come ahead, Brian. Remind you tonight, our Lord's not looking for celebrities. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for servants. And whoever you are tonight, you are a vessel, either of honor or dishonor. You are a vessel. You're full of something. And may the Holy Ghost, may the Lord, make us a fit vessel of honor. You ought to mind the Lord tonight. Altar's open. Say, preacher, it's been a different kind of meeting. I like them meetings where there's a lot of shouting and everything else, a lot of noise running on. Yeah, you can hide under all that and not be handy and not have any oil and not be a servant, a maid. This meeting started and ended on the same note. You think that's out of coincidence? A little maid, a little boy, but little as much when God's in him. Some have done come to the altar. You ought to mind him tonight as they sing.
I want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will come to nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. And I want my life to count for Jesus.
Is that your desire? Is it going to matter that you've been through here? You leaving any tracks for somebody to follow to glory?
I only seek eternal gain. Within my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. And I want my Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain, and I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. I want my Jesus, for earthly things to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. I want Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain within my heart. There burned a question. What was I pledged?
What did God just do right down there?
He saved me.
And I didn't get down and read the Bible to her. And I didn't get down and say, repeat after me. Because I've just been a-preaching to her. Hallelujah. Now, what did you say God did?
He saved me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his good name. Amen. Amen. Amen, Mama. Amen, Grandma. My. Now, see, I'd have probably tried to tree somebody else tonight. How old are you? What'd he say? All right, Michaela, how old are you? 9. 10 and 9. That's who he makes fit vessels out of. Those that are available. You don't want to be used? You won't be. I don't care if you and your grandpa dug the footings of this church with a spoon. Doesn't mean squat. Today's a new day. And he's looking for a people that are willing to be unknown here, that they might be known there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a way to begin. What a way to end. And my, what we have heard in between. Don't you appreciate the preaching of God's man? Amen. You be sure to speak to him and Miss Beth tonight. Visitors, we glad to have you in the service tonight. Don't forget the Lord's Day, Sunday. Come looking for the Lord to do even more. Amen. In our midst. Father, thank you. Thank you seems so small. But it's the best I got at the moment, so I'm going to go with it. We say thank you for saving. Thank you for drawing. Thank you for hearing and honoring prayer. because you sure enough, from beginning to end, have glorified yourself. We prayed that we might know thee and know eternal life. And God, we have these that have come to know it this week. God, thank you for stirring joy and love in our heart. Lord, thank you for sanctifying us with your truth, with your word in these days. Keep your hand on Brother Tom. Continue to use him the days that are ahead. Again, Lord, we say thank you for your goodness unto us. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. Just keep a praying like a Savior is the best thing I know to tell you. Amen. You're at liberty if you've minded the Holy Ghost and the Lord tonight. You speak to visitors, tell them you're glad to see them. Speak to Brother Tom. Don't forget the offering plates if you've yet to give to the man of God.